Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thanks so much for joining me tonight. We are talking about giving. Isn't that a great subject? But really, we're talking about giving too much, disabling your enabling. I know what you're thinking. How could someone be guilty of giving too much? For a person who believes in and practices volunteerism on a weekly basis, how could I even think such a thing? But it's true. I'm using the word giving, and you are interpreting that word to make sense to you. There are many forms of giving, and we are going to explore those tonight. The healthy and the unhealthy. Everything in life needs balance. When you swing too far in any direction, there can be consequences. So let's walk through it together and see if it makes sense. So let's get to it. Everything in moderation, even moderation. We are going to look at giving from a couple of different angles. But let's first start by understanding the difference between giving freely and giving with conditions. To give freely means you are looking for nothing in return. You give, be it money, time, labor, love, without expecting a return on your investment. You don't check up on the gift after it's been given, or even consider the course it will take. It's none of your business. Once given, it's no longer your concern. You give out of love and understanding. You give just to give. But giving with conditions looks quite a bit different. You give in order to get validation, praise, respect, debt, control, etc. You give with instructions. If the outcome doesn't suit your liking, you shame or guilt the receiver. You keep tabs or score. You expect a return on your investment. You give to get. That may seem harsh, but let's get out the flashlight and point it into the corners of your mind. Can you remember a situation that you gave with conditions? It's really easier than you think. Now, with those definitions, let's look at these harmless quotes meant to inspire, but now let's look at them with a new lens. Remember that the happiest people are not those getting more, but those giving more. That was by H. Jackson Brown Jr. No one has ever become poor by giving. Anne Frank. We must give more in order to get more. It is the generous giving of ourselves that produces the generous harvest. That was from Orson Sweet Martin. No one is useless in the world who lightens the burdens of others. Charles Dickens. And what about this one? The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. Mahatma Gandhi. Now, let's think about those. You know, this show is not to deter you from giving, but instead giving you some perspective on balance, the balance that you need to give successfully. So just that first one, remember the happiest people are not those getting more, but those giving more. You know, be careful when you think about giving so that you can get some sort of happy reward. Make yourself feel better by giving. Be careful. You do feel better by volunteering and giving, but if you're doing it just out of that purpose, that's where you teeter that line. How about no one has ever become poor by giving? That is not true. If you give too much in an unhealthy way, you can lose everything. What about we must give more in order to get more? Right away, we're going into it with that kind of philosophy that we're giving to get. Now, it is better to give than to receive, and you do get all the blessings from giving. But when you think about it logistically in that manner and you go into it with that frame of mind, it can be dangerous. How about no one is useless in the world who lightens the burdens of others? Oh, that could sound like an enabler, Charles Dickinson. You know, lightening the burdens of others can be a wonderful thing to do. But when you do it over and over again, where the person that you've lightened never learns a lesson, it can be dangerous. And the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. Never lose yourself in any service. Now, consider these signs, the 12 red flags of dysfunctional helping and giving. I found this in Psychology Today because it really lays out some of the things we need to think about. Now, some of these are talking about potentially family members, friends, spouses that might be dealing with some issues, some addictions, some things that they're doing. Sometimes it's just, it's coming from a place of you really sort of have lost that healthy balance of giving. So see if any of these ring true for you. Number one, you notice that your help and giving fosters dependence, irresponsibility, incompetence, and poor character. Sometimes we have to face the fact that our good intentions have gone bad. Continuing to help and give under these conditions is a waste of your resources and isn't really helpful. Remember, healthy helping promotes other people's growth, independence, and development of their own positive potential. Unhealthy or dysfunctional helping does the opposite. Use your helping energy and resources to help people and causes that will truly benefit from your help. What about this one? The other person has violated numerous agreements, required many bailouts, and hasn't used the help to do as promised. At this point, it's time to stop believing them and giving them chances, at least for now. Once you get strong evidence that they are ready to use your help in a positive way to progress their life, then you can help them again. When people use your help to escape responsibility over and over again, it's best to summon the strength to terminate your helping. Continuing to give to people who don't uphold their end is a waste of your time and resources. If you continue, you'll become increasingly angry and resentful. And we have to let Charles Dickinson know, poor as well. How about this one? The help you're giving helps someone to stay stagnant or stuck in an age-inappropriate stage of development, or prevents them from developing needed life or professional skills. Can you be too helpful and in the process create people that can't take care of themselves or do their jobs well? Unhealthy helping can doom others to be less than they're capable. How about your helping or giving requires your dishonesty or somehow compromises your integrity? For example, making bogus excuses for another person or covering for someone are almost never forms of healthy helping and giving. Healthy helping doesn't typically involve deception, secrets, nor does it require that you violate your moral code. Are any of these making sense to you? Now, it's okay. You're in the privacy of your own home. You can admit your guilt to yourself. It's important to shine a light and really see what's going on with your giving. Everything can start out from a place of love, and certain people can take advantage of those, and it can get twisted. What about this one? You have the distinct impression you're being manipulated into helping or giving. Sometimes it's obvious, like when the other person says things to trigger guilty feelings and then conveniently offers a giving opportunity that will reduce your guilt. Sometimes it's only a feeling in your gut, warning you that someone and their requests for your assistance are a little off. Manipulation is a sign of someone who is willing to be deceitful and take advantage of others. And you should pay attention to your warning system, your gut. The odds of your giving being short-term and having a positive outcome are probably close to zero. What about your help is increasingly unsustainable given your resources? Do you ever overextend yourself to help someone else, or you feel like you're helping someone else? Look for that positive helping sweet spot where you can help without sacrificing your own physical or mental health, your own self-respect, or your financial well-being. Be willing to back out of negative helping arrangements that zap your resources. Decline to rescue and help when you really can't afford it. Healthy helping means helping within your means. After helping or giving to someone, the relationship with the person has deteriorated due to bad feelings involving the helping or giving relationship. Healthy helping and giving have long-lasting positive effects on a relationship. Unlike unhealthy giving, it strengthens a relationship and isn't fraught with relationship imbalance, conflict, hurt, or resentment. Have you ever felt that? You give and give and give, and then you have to reduce for maybe your means, or you have to focus on something else, and then you get the anger and the resentment. And you think, but I've helped all, I've given and I've helped, and now it sort of bites you. Unhealthy giving. That person was taking advantage of that situation. What about your helpful accommodations make it easier for someone to remain physically unhealthy? Putting off getting professional help, avoid taking their medication or working their program, etc. Admit when another's problems or challenges are bigger than you and require professional assistance. Withdraw help and giving that makes it easier for someone to avoid empowering themselves and managing their own conditions. I know you mean well, but you can prevent that person from seeking help. Recognize when your help wears down another's discomfort just enough that they're unmotivated to seek the professional help they really need. Instead, help by connecting them to relevant resources and appropriate professionals and supporting their motivation to seek treatment. However, accept that they might not manage their condition as you think they should. But remember, this is their choice. This is their life. Does this sound like you? Your help or giving in a group setting fails to inspire a cooperative group culture where everyone helps one another. Do you ever sort of try to do everything for everyone and instead you're the one that's the go-to person in the group? It leads others to slack and it leaves you feeling taken advantage of. When you see this happening, and sometimes you don't, but that's what we're talking. That's why we're talking today, so you can start becoming more self-aware. But when you see this, pleasantly announce that you're pulling back and making room for others to step up. Maybe you've done too much. Maybe they need to assist, right? Show them how to do things they may not have learned due to your over-helpfulness. And then get out of the way. Let them do it. Maybe this sounds like you. You find that what you intended as a one-time modest offer to help or give has morphed into this unending long-term obligation that you resent and you find burdensome. This is a sign of helping and giving entrapment. Remind yourself that your past helping does not serve as a commitment to help forever. You didn't commit to this. Had you known it was going to go on like this, you wouldn't have agreed to this. So you're not violating your commitment or being a bad person if you back out. So we have two more on our list, but I definitely want to take our first musical break. I want you to think about those. And it's okay to be guilty of a few of those. The whole idea of the show is to just shine a light, give us a different perspective, and maybe some new alternatives, how we can better handle those situations. What about this one? You're in a self-sacrificing relationship that reeks of codependence. It's one-sided, and closeness is based on one person being a giver and the other an under-functioning taker. Most of the love and intimacy in the relationship is experienced in the context of the one person's distress or poor functioning and the other's rescuing or enabling. Or look at it this way. The relationship is mostly about one person's excessive giving and the other person's excessive taking. How about this one? The last one. You're willing to overlook the ill effects of your helping and giving because it makes you feel like a good person. If that's the case, you should pull back from helping. That isn't truly helpful to the recipient and is more about you proving to yourself or others that you're a good person or family member. How selfless you are or how nice you are. Remember when we read those quotes? Is it about you or is it about the other person? Are you giving freely or are you giving to get? You know, I used to think I was just super helpful, a great friend, a good child, a caring coworker, a cool mom. It took me many years, lots of soul searching and some expert advice to realize being a people pleaser is not a good thing. That my helpfulness at times was a way to control. That my advice, even though very helpful and insightful, was unwarranted and intrusive. That was a revelation that was pretty hard to swallow. I didn't believe it at first. The first time I heard it, I discounted it. And I went along making mistake after mistake after mistake until it clicked. It had to. But I'm just being helpful. You see, I've already been there and done that, and I just want to make sure that person isn't making the same mistakes I made. If they would just take my advice and start doing this or that, everything would be perfect. Does any of that sound familiar? I identify with the characteristics of codependency. Now, the topic tonight is not meant to lead you to the same conclusion. We are merely going on a discovery. Being self-aware of your actions and your reactions can help you make better choices and ultimately achieve better balance. And isn't that what we're all striving for? Better balance? You know, I'm an addiction recovery coach, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. But I found this article from Candace Plotter. She's also an addiction counselor, and she explained codependency like this. See, codependency used to be just the person who was enabling someone with an addiction, but that's not true anymore. The term codependency can mean different things to different people. Over the years, a number of authors have offered a variety of definitions for this difficult dynamic that seems to affect more people than we can imagine. My definition is a very simple one. Codependency occurs when we put other people's needs ahead of our own on a fairly consistent basis. In truth, when we are codependent, we are also people pleasers who will go to virtually any lengths to avoid unpleasant conflict with others. Does that sound like you? How about this? You're tired of giving and giving to other people without getting much in return. You're concerned about the pain or abuse that you are experiencing in your relationships. You feel sorry for yourself, baffled about why this is happening to you, but not knowing what to do about it. You try to convince yourself that the problems you are experiencing aren't really that bad. Because codependents consistently put others' needs ahead of their own, they often believe that they are the nice people, right? You can feel the air quotes, the nice people. I'm doing what everybody wants me to do. That's what you tell yourself. So why do I get mistreated so much of the time? This will be a real dilemma for you as a people pleaser. If you are codependent, it probably doesn't make sense to you that you're being treated abusively when the very people you're trying so hard to accommodate are the abusers. But the truth may be that you're not really as nice as you would like to believe you are, because you're not saying yes to everyone else just to be kind to them. You do more than your fair share of tasks because you truly want to be of service over and over without any kind of reciprocal agreement. No, not true. I lead a women's empowerment group called Women Connect. There's actually two chapters, and one of them is for inpatient women in a drug rehab facility. In this meeting, we work on finding our voice, creating healthy boundaries, harnessing our power, forgiving failure, and finding our happy place. All of these women come from unhealthy relationships with their spouses, partners, family members, and children. If they don't change their role and responsibility, they won't have a shot at success. We're talking about strengthening our core. I have them visualize a tree with a weak trunk, so you can imagine. As a result, it's got weak branches, right? And also, it's weakly rooted. Okay? Imagine that. Now, imagine hanging things from those branches. The branches of an unhealthy tree, it couldn't possibly support that weight, right? It would lean over, break at the waist, so to speak, at the core, at the trunk. You have to remove everything from the branches, really start over and start building that core. And that core comes from a healthy self-concept. So here are some of the things that I've learned on my journey of self-discovery. I do not have all the answers. It took me a while to get there. You may still feel that way. You may still be on that journey. It's a hard one to learn, but I don't have all the answers. Not everyone needs or wants my advice. Oh, as bad as I want to give it. They need to come to those conclusions on their own. The only person I have control over is myself. That was a hard one. I really thought the harder I worked, the more I gave, I could change people. I could really help them and let them see a better way. In the end, a lot of time wasted on that. I don't like to think of it as wasted. I like to think of it as therapeutic. So I'm going to take those negative things and turn them positive. I also learned that love means letting people learn. You don't have to think of letting people go. Letting people learn. We are all on this journey. And if you save everyone, if you rescue everyone from every situation, how will they ever learn? Usually the way that I explain it, I make a baseball reference. I'm not really sure why, because I don't play baseball and I don't necessarily watch baseball. But I think about trying to be the over helper, over giver. And I am the center fielder. So the ball is hit out to right field and I run really, really hard over to right field and I catch the ball. Success. And then the ball is hit over to left field and I run, sliding in. I catch the ball. And then it's hit up to shortstop. Oh man, I just get there in time and I catch that ball. Now I'm a little winded. So the ball is hit to right field again, and I just stand there. It's going to take me a minute to recover. And the ball drops. The right fielder didn't even try to get it. And I look at him, and I say, hey, what's up? Why didn't you get that ball? And he said, why didn't you get the ball? And I said, I don't play right field. And he said, since when? Does that make sense? If you do everything for everyone else, they don't have to do it for themselves. They don't learn. You shorten their growth. I also learned that I'm worthy just the way I am. I don't have to become anything for anyone. I don't have to morph into the people pleaser, the one that says yes to everything. I can be just me. I also learned I deserve it all. All of it. How much is all? All is all, right? So do you still have your flashlight? Shine it over here. How could you possibly practice self-care, setting goals, focusing on your wants, needs, and desires when you are busy taking care of everyone else? Think about that. Lift your imposed responsibility and you will instantly propel yourself forward. Instantly. A little test I like to do is this. Is this really my problem? Will the outcome directly affect me? Is there a chance that they could figure it out without me? That's a good one, because typically, yes, they can. Do I have any real control over this situation? No? Okay, then it was a nice thought, but time to get back in your hula hoop. A wise woman I met on my journey gave me that visualization. I'm a visual thinker, so I have to, if you haven't picked up on that yet, I love analogies. It allows me to see a concept. So imagine your hula hoop, okay? We all know what a hula hoop is, right? You're in the middle, and you have that space between you and that plastic ring. That space is for you and all your business. When you find yourself in someone else's business, you are outside your hula hoop. So thinking of that plastic ring keeps you 12 inches or so from the boundary. And keeping the next person 12 inches or so helps you remember what you have charge of and what you do not. So, how do you stay in your hula hoop? You know, it's never too late to turn it around. So if you've uncovered a lot of different things about yourself tonight and things that you just quite weren't ready to shine the light on, but you did, it's never too late. Dr. Eileen Cohen, she's the author of When It's Never About You. She offers some ideas to stop people-pleasing. The first one is to become self-aware, and that's what we're doing. That's why we do this show, become self-aware. The greatest changes begin when you look at yourself with interest and respect instead of judgment and denial. When you invite your thoughts and feelings into awareness, you have the opportunity to learn from them instead of unconsciously reacting to them. And you increase your awareness of reality by being willing to encounter your personal truths. When she did this, it gave her a better handle on her impulse to people please and allowed her to notice when she wasn't being helpful. It gave her the choice to make a different move. What about realizing that doing too much hurts rather than helps? Through her education, she learned that the health of her relationships depend on her willingness to take care of and share and be herself. She learned that when we do too much for others, we overfunction in the relationship, which inevitably leads to underfunctioning by the other person. We might have good intentions, but they can ultimately hinder the overall effectiveness of your relationship. We need to understand the importance of being authentic. She came to terms with the fact that we're all unique individuals. We should be able to act authentically and connect with who we are and who we value instead of always doing what other people want. And then learning to let go. If you're stuck in the past and you can't let go of things that happened to you, chances are you're accepting what your abusers, bullies, or other negative people in your life believe about you. You'll remain imprisoned by them, never able to access your full potential if you don't learn to let go. Sometimes that's a hard lesson to learn. And it's hard to allow the fears of disapproval. It's hard to let those go. Realize that avoiding problems doesn't promote growth. When problems arise in your life, you tend to react by immediately trying to get rid of them and the feelings that they bring. Eileen tried this and tried to avoid these experiences, and it fueled her urge to please instead. So the exact opposite happened. When we avoid our problems and try to get rid of them immediately, we only make things worse for ourselves in the future. Start navigating anxiety. When we make anxiety-based decisions, we aren't being true to what we really want. We act impulsively, based on instinct, inevitably causing us to experience more anxiety. We need to learn a better way to manage those urges. Learn self-acceptance. Remember when we talked about the core, the trunk of the tree? Self-acceptance is an ever-evolving process, and it's up to each one of us to get that process in motion. Once you learn that, you can accept your worth and start taking on the project of becoming the best self you can be. Start giving to yourself. You want to give too much? Give to yourself. Give too much to yourself. Being willing to give to yourself is such a wonderful attribute. Giving of yourself is important in moderation. Remember when I said that in the beginning? Everything in moderation. Look at your giving and be honest about your intentions. Nurturing the cape and saving the world is not healthy. And, by the way, not your job. Don't forget that. Everyone has a life to lead. Some or most will make a bad decision here and there. Lessons are learned when we go through the process of righting the wrong. That's a journey we all need to make on our own, at our own pace, on our own time. I hope that puts things in a little better perspective for you, so you can start really taking a look at the motivation behind your giving. When you feel depleted, I just give too much. I give all the time. Why are you doing that? What's the motivation behind that gift? Is there an unhealthy balance there? Are you overextending, allowing that other person not to grow into the person that they're supposed to be? We are wrapping up our show tonight, Giving Too Much, Disabling Your Enabling. I hope that you pulled away a few nuggets from tonight, something that you can really hold on to, just looking at what you're doing and where it comes from. You know, it's all about a healthy balance and taking care of yourself. Giving to the extent of losing yourself in another person is unhealthy. When these first quotes were mentioned, they were mentioned to healthy giving. They weren't intended to be taken that far, but that's just the point. It can be taken that far. And there's a small line there that can be crossed, and unless we do some self-discovery, some internal reflection, we don't know when we go too far. So hopefully you've taken that light out. You shined it in all the corners. We're here by ourselves just listening tonight. And you have the opportunity to really uncover sometimes when you might have jumped out of your hula hoop just a bit. I hope that hula hoop reference gave you some boundaries. It's good for me to see a visual. I hope it's good for you as well. Get back in your hula hoop. Even advice giving. Who knew that was going too far? When you listen to someone and you're listening in order to take what they say and you know, start the conversation in your mind. Oh, yeah, I know exactly what they're saying. I remember when that happened to me. Oh, I can't wait till she stops talking so I can turn around and tell her exactly what happened to me so it won't happen to her. That's not listening. That's not active listening. Right? You want to listen to someone. You want to be there for someone. I support you. I understand what you're going through. I'm thinking about you. I know you've got it. I know you can do it. In fact, going through life coaching and addiction recovery coaching gave me those skills to sit and listen. Even though I was so quick to give advice before, I now have that ability to really listen and just be there supportively without being an advice giver. Start thinking of that in a different way. Think about those 12 steps of unhealthy giving. That wasn't to place blame or guilt. It's just to make you aware of when you might have overstepped your boundaries and when it could turn on you and come back at you in a negative way. Whether that's keeping someone stuck, depleting your resources, driving you crazy. Think about those. I explained to you how I identify with the characters of codependency, and there are lots of different characters. You may not, if you plan to look them up, there's lots of different characteristics from controlling to self-concept and shame and things like that. But you don't have to identify to all of them to be able to change your ways and change what you're doing. I talked about the different things that I learned, and I hope that you are on your own discovery to learn those things too. You do deserve it all. And all means everything. You deserve it all. Take a look at what is happening in your own life and how you can possibly make room, cut back on some overextending to make room for yourself, your own wants, needs, and desires. So I'm going to challenge you, channel this energy in a positive direction that strengthens your core. Give freely and give of yourself to yourself first. Be willing to share, learn, and grow while allowing others to do the same. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Someone threw until the path was clear. That's when